We are in the midst of this sermon series called Character Under Construction. And today, I'm going to unpack this idea of demolition. For some of us, demolition is fun. It's fun. It's fun to take things down and to build something new. Some of you may be familiar or remember last year the Jeremiah Morrow Bridge up on 71 as you head towards Columbus was under construction for a very long time, right? And a lot of us endured that traffic. And last year they decided that they needed to take down the old bridge, right? The new bridge was up and ready to go. So how do you take down a big structure like that? You blow it up, right? And a lot of us watch that on the news or maybe even watch when it was live to be able to bring that down. That bridge is 240 feet that stretches and spans over the Little Miami River, and it is the tallest bridge in the state of Ohio. I've got a friend that is absolutely white-knuckled every time she goes over that, right, because it is so darn tall. But it's fun to watch things to blow up and to come down. And home renovation is a hot thing right now, a hot thing. And wherever you turn on the TV, we've got some kind of TV show where there's a remodel going on. And there's always a vision that happens with the remodel. We assess the old of what we currently have and then a picture of what we want it to be. And we create this plan. And then once the blueprints are done, the demolition begins, right? And we get the sledgehammers out and whatever tools that we need to be able to get rid of and demolish the old and to make way for that new. A lot of us have experienced remodels, new bathrooms, new kitchens, new roofs, new windows, all kind of things that are going on in our lives as well, in addition to what we're seeing on TV. And as we know, sometimes remodels don't always go as planned, amen? I'm sure we all could share a few stories of that. Got some funny things to share this morning. How many of you remember the Flintstones? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. I just love this. Wilma says, I'm a little disappointed that the counters aren't granite, right? We want granite nowadays. And then, of course, Fred is, but the walls are, and so are the floors and the ceilings and the beds, the chairs and the TV. So it sounds like we need to go back maybe to the Flintstones, right, to get all our granite. So just a couple funnies to share with you. On the left, it's a bit challenging to get in and out of this front door. Does not look like that is going to end well. And then over here to the right, it says, one day, the kitchen sink. Many of us have been like, ooh, we forgot to put in the plumbing or we forgot to put something in. And then we have another one over here to the left. Anybody fall through a ceiling? Yeah, we had a couple folks. Yep, we've got one back here. It is not a fun situation. I know someone that has fallen through a ceiling as well, and his arms anchored him, right? They were the brace to keep him from coming all the way through. And then I love this image over here. We've all had plumbing nightmares that we've experienced. And notice the woman on the phone in the back. I just wonder who she might be calling. Could it be a plumber? Could it be a plumber? You see, the goal in renovation is transformation. Is transformation. And it is through transformation that the old becomes new. In our walk with Christ, we experience change and transformation as well. And our old selves become a new self. And just as renovation has its challenges, unexpected things go wrong, frustrations arise at times that cause aches and pains. So can we experience these things on our Christian journey? It's not easy. But we're reminded that we're a work in progress. We are under construction as we journey through this thing called life. And our old lives, we were dead in sin and transgressions, but new life is alive in Christ. I'd like to share a passage with you this morning out of the book of Ephesians. I want you to hear these words from the second chapter. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. There's this idea of being spiritually dead, different than physically dead, but spiritually dead, separated from God, brought on by our transgressions and sins that separate us. There are consequences to our actions. Ways of the world. How are we conforming to the culture in the ways of the world? What do you believe and why? What you believe will guide the ways that you think about things. Does Scripture hold relevance in your life? And what do you measure right from wrong? What does the Bible tell you versus what the world tells you? What authority do you listen to? What defines you? What do you want to be? There's a passage in Romans that I often go back to that says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." I want to share an example with you of this. I didn't share it in the first service, but God has given me the courage to share it in this service. I was up in Dayton this past week. I had a class up at the seminary and got home last night. And in my travels back and forth to the seminary, you know, had the radio on in the car, like we all do. And Dayton had a visitor this weekend, Stormy Daniels. It was all over the radio. I thought, what is wrong with people? We're advertising. It's been on billboards on I-75 up in Dayton since February. Because I've driven past them since February, but now it was all over the radio. And I thought, my word, this is not normal, and it shouldn't be normal. And we have conformed to the pattern and the culture of the ways of this world. And the Bible tells us clearly that we are not to conform to the pattern of this world. Scripture also tells us about this ruler of the kingdom of the air. Satan wants to influence our lives. Case in point, what we're hearing on the radio makes us children of disobedience, for us to give into temptation, to be selfish, to turn against one another, to make us turn on ourselves and to cause our minds to go wild, to think that God doesn't love us or that he has forsaken us, for us to turn to the world and all it has to offer, to go to this club. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then it tells us as well, the Spirit is at work in those who are disobedient. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We are fallen in nature, and we live in a broken world. But there's hope. There's hope. You see, we have a choice to turn from our old ways, to transform our minds, to seek God, to follow his word, to embrace obedience rather than disobedience, to experience new ways, ways that lead to life in God, in the life that God intended for us. You see, sin works against us, but God works for us. Sin works against us, but God works for us. A question for us today: are you wearing grave clothes, spiritually dead, or are you wearing grace clothes, raised and seated on the throne? You see, sometimes people get upset with church folk. Call us a bunch of hypocrites, right? We've heard it before. But the truth is that the church is made up of broken people who need Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And we come here seeking to know Jesus, not just know about him, but to know Jesus and to be in a relationship with him. Church can be viewed as a hospital, if you will. Some of us come in need of healing, restoration, rehabilitation. And some of us have wounds so deep that we need some wound care. Wound care. For some, sin has made us physically and emotionally sick. And we seek a dose of grace and mercy and hope. God prescribes a daily dose of prayer, confession, relationships, right? To be together as a body of Christ and to worship together here as we've done this morning as a body of believers. You see, we can't get better unless we follow the doctor's orders. And those of you who are in the medical field know what I'm talking about. How are you being obedient? In the hospital, when we go in, many of us know that we exchange our clothes for this beautiful, stylish hospital gown, right? We've all had those gowns. And in church, we exchange our grave clothes for grace clothes. Friends, we have a great physician and good news. We pick up in verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works so that one can boast, but we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. See, God desires for us to be in relationship with him, to follow his prescriptions, to follow his commands, his ways, to be obedient to him, and to turn from sin and to turn to him. Some of you may be aware that over the past several weeks, we have been replacing our roof here at church. And the old one was worn out, and it was time for a new one. And during the course of that time, I have gone out and spoken to some of the roofers that were out there. And boy, let me just say, that is hard work when it's 90 degrees and you are on a roof. You see, in roofing, you can add layer upon layer. But shingles eventually have to be taken off when that rain begins to penetrate through and affects the interior, whether it's a building or a home. You see, some of you here have layers. Layers of the old that may look okay on the outside, but on the inside, it's starting to get wet and moldy, and the structure's starting to fall apart. But God offers something new. He comes and he offers something new. You get to start over. And not because of what you've done, but because of his mercy and grace. You see, in our persons, we have layers of experience, layers of circumstances or bad decisions, layers of disobedience that have affected the narrative of your life. But when you get down to the framing or the foundation of the roof, we see bare wood, bare wood. And just like us, when we peel off the layers, we become bare, and here we are. But friends, these layers, they don't define you. They're a part of your story, but they don't define you. You see, our shingles are worn out or have worn us out, are weathered and burdensome. And though they're a part of our story, we have the power to make changes, to turn to God. And when we turn to God and repent, those old shingles, they come off, allowing God to do something new in each and every one of us. What areas of your life need demolition? Areas that you need to turn away from sin, to peel off the shingles that separate you from God. We've got some shingles here this morning from our roof, here on this building. For generations have protected this building. But God's doing something new. We got a new roof. Just like God is working in us to peel off that old, to make room for something new for him to do in us. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works so that anyone can boast. Friends, it is never too late, never too late. His mercies are new every morning. God offers us life. I love this passage from Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Throughout our lives, many of us have done the best we can and continue to the best we can. We work hard. When we were in school, or maybe those of us that are in college, try to get the best grades that we can. We got our first job. Some of us went to college, landed either our dream job or a job to pay the bills. There's a difference. Some of us have been recognized in our jobs. We've gotten raises. We've moved up the ladder. And we've let our accomplishments define us. We boast in ourselves. And don't get me wrong, it is good to be proud of yourselves. It is good, but there's something that we cannot do, and that is to earn our salvation, not by works or good deeds, but by grace, a gift from God. You have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." You see, he cannot work through us unless he works in us. And we are not saved by good works, but for good works. Many of us are familiar with Moses. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Moses and the movie The Ten Commandments, I think of Charlton Heston. Sorry, but that's just what Moses looks like in my eyes. And I watched this movie a couple weeks ago, and it was a recent movie, and it was a remake of Moses' story in the Exodus. And Christian Bale was playing Moses. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but I'm telling you, I'm like, this is Batman. This is not Moses. I just had a hard time with it. So we remember in the Bible in that you know that Moses was with the Hebrews in Egypt, and then he left for a period of time. He left for a period of 40 years, and so he left. Right, he looked a little different. Young man, shorter hair. And then I remember the scene in the movie where he's been with God in the desert for those 40 years, and he comes back and looking a little different, right? Got that long hair, and it's gray and wavy. But in those 40 years, he was intentional to spend time with God in those 40 years. And I would imagine that he wrestled with God, too, during those 40 years. And he came back an instrument to free the Hebrew slaves. You see, age is just a number, just a number. We're never too young or too old for God to work in us and through us. Again, he spent 40 years, God spent 40 years working in Moses before he could work through him, which is what we see where he came in and saved the day and led them to freedom. 40 years to work in him before he could work through him. He has worked for you. Let him work in you, and let him work through you. So how is God working in you? It may be days or months or years like Moses. What is he preparing you for? Because he's preparing you for something. And what do you need to deal with now? Or change? What shingles need to come off in your life in order for him to do something new in you? You see, we are saved by grace through faith, and when that happens, he raises us up. Many of us remember sitting at the kids' table growing up, and some of us still have the kids' table in our households for family occasions. There's just not enough room for everybody at the table. But as we got older, we graduated to the big table. You see, God has a place for us at the table. There's no kids' tables, and we get to sit at the big table. And God raises us up with Christ, and it seats us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. He has a place for us today at the table, a reminder of the love that God has for each and every one of us, a love so deep that he gave his one and only Son for those who believe in him, that they would have eternal life. Oh, what deep love. So this morning, he invites us to the table. We all got a spot. And as we join together at this table, we are reminded of the night that Jesus spent with his disciples, that last night, that Last Supper. And Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And also he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is a covenant, a new covenant with you. My blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins and the sins of many. Take and drink in remembrance of me." We remember through this meal of what God did for us and what God does in us. This is just not something that we come to check off the list, but oh, let it transform you to become something different. I'd like to invite those who are serving communion to come forward at this time to prepare themselves as well as the team. And I'd like you to join me in a time of prayer. God, we come before you. God, we thank you for your presence here today, and we ask that you would pour out your spirit upon these elements of the bread and the cup, that they would be for us your body and your blood, or that we would be transformed as we gather this morning. God, it is a privilege to be your church. We come before you now to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Won't you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.